combine. NFL combine next week. More Ducks involved than ever. Not to mention what's to become of your favorite franchise. And who better to kick it all off? A returning champ to our show, college football and draft analyst. You can link all he's up to. Ton of great work on the X platform. Use the handle at Rise and Draft. Ryan Roberts returns. Ryan, how's life treating you and the family?
It's good, man. It's a little cold right now. We got like a little bit of a winter blast over here, man. It was 1 degree yesterday when I took the daughter into school, so it's a little bit chilly. But I'm just getting ready for, you know, the trip out to Indianapolis next week, as you mentioned. So it's not going to get any warmer anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, balmy Indiana. My dad called me on the way to work today and just wanted to let me know it was 13 in Wayne, New Jersey. So I don't have to tell you. Anyway, let's start with the basics. Everybody's got their own unique lens, you know, the throwing, the jumping, the skills on the display, the verbal performance. So when it's combine time, as far as what makes an impression to make a player's stock rise or drop, what are some of the things that you focus on?
I mean, from like the media scope, this is more for someone that does evaluations and does scouting reports. This is more of a verification process for me. So, like, what I'm looking for is if I have evaluated a wide receiver, and let's say it's Tez Johnson, just for argument's sake, out of Oregon, and I say, you know, right in my notes, you know, true burner, 4.35, estimated 40, like he's a guy that is going to, you know, test off the charts as far as pure vertical speed. And then he goes to the combine and let's say he runs like 4.49 and he's like way off of what I projected. That's like a little bit of a cautionary tale to, hey, man, maybe you should go back and just watch again, right? Like for me, grades don't change based upon combine testing, but it's almost like you're checking your work. It's like, Tez Johnson, think he's a 4.3 kid, goes to combine to run a 4.3. I'm not going to adjust that grade at all. He's exactly what I thought he was, ultimately, right? So from that media side, from the evaluation process perspective, and I think that this is what a lot of NFL teams kind of feel as well, it's a checkpoint, right? Like a guy did what I thought he was going to do athletically, or he didn't. So maybe I need to go back and check my work. But like the other side of it, obviously, from like the main scope for what the people that actually matter, right? The people that are going to be drafting these guys and making the decisions. What really matters most is these interviews that we don't get full access to, obviously, right? Like digging into the character, doing the medical stuff as well when they go to the hospital and get checked and MRIs on everything, and to make sure that they are investing in a future, right? Like good people that have a body that is going to withstand a first contract and hopefully get to a second contract, right? So those behind-the-scenes things are what's important to the NFL. For me personally, it's just – I want to verify my eyes. I want to look at these players and know that I saw the correct thing on tape, or maybe I need to go back and check again because they might not be quite as athletic or they might be more athletic than I thought they were the first time around.
By the way, you just gave me a flashback to like my high school algebra class. The teacher didn't just want the answer. She wanted to check my work to see how I arrived at that fraction.
It's the process, man. It's the process. I mean, it's funny because before, in a prior life, before I went full media, I was actually a teacher myself. So like I would always preach the same thing, man. Like I want to see your work on the side of your paper, right? Like whatever's going through your mind, write it down, because as long as I know what your process is, we can go back and we can fix it if the final solution is not correct, ultimately, right? So like it matters, it really does, and especially in like this industry that is so subjective, right? Because someone could watch Tez Johnson or Ashton Jeantee or whoever, and they could see something completely different than I see, which is so strange to me, right? Just kind of in a vacuum. But these numbers that we get from these testing and all these data points, it's really just verifying that what you're seeing is correct. So yeah, it's funny, but it is a little bit of, you know, you're checking your work. You want to see that work to make sure that the process is good.
Yeah. Don't tell me X equals 4. Show me how. Talking with Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft on the X platform. As far as the most recent Duck quarterback who had the kind of season Dylan Gabriel did, unbeaten regular year, Big Ten title, Heisman finalist, he's also a terrific young guy. Just thoughts on his NFL prospects. And as you've done with all the quarterbacks, who do you compare him to?
It's funny. I actually put out a little bit of a comparison piece and just some of the top quarterbacks. And I compared him a little bit to Seneca Wallace that used to play with the Seahawks
right.
as far as, like, body type. And I don't necessarily – because I went back and looked at, like, some you know, just some testing numbers and stuff. And, like, Seneca Wallace's rushing numbers, both at Iowa State and even with Seattle when he got a chance to play, pretty similar to what Dylan Gabriel did because I originally looked at the numbers and, like, he ran, like, 4.52, I think, at the combine of the pro day, one of those, which obviously is a great number. I don't necessarily think, like, I think Gabriel's probably more in, like, a 4.6 something type of guy, so I don't think he's necessarily 4.52 fast, but he's a really good mover, right? Like, he's good, he's deceptive, he throws well on the run, and he's played a lot of football games, man. And I think that people, you know, we always talk about the age thing, because there are some teams like the Cleveland Browns, for instance, that have, like, age guardrails on who they'll draft and what ranges and all that type of stuff, but at the quarterback position, experience matters so much. I mean, it really does. A guy that can come in and he can grasp different concepts and he can fight through adversity and he's seen this blitz look, he's seen this coverage variation, like all that stuff really matters. So I think that for me, Dylan Gabriel, while he is a shorter quarterback, while his arm is solid for NFL standards, not plus, but solid, and he's a pretty good athlete, I think there are going to be some limitations for him to potentially be a starting quarterback. But what I think he's going to be, which is why I comped him to Seneca Wallace, is I think he's going to be a long-term, really good backup. And there might be spots, like Seneca had opportunities as well, as a spot starter at times, and a guy that can come in and can keep you afloat. I think that's what ultimately Dylan Gabriel is going to be. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I think he's going to be a mid-round pick, probably somewhere third, fourth, maybe fifth round, like somewhere in that ballpark overall, depending on how a team likes him to what degree. But I just think that he's going to play in the NFL for a long time because he has kind of those unspoken intangibles that we always talk about, right? Like, what's that mean? Well, it's leadership. It's experience. It's a guy that's been through that adversity, and I think Gabriel has all those things.
By the way, the Cleveland Brown guardrails have led to several fatal accidents. They may want to reinforce. A big reason, obviously, Dylan was so great here, the offensive line, and, of course, in Josh Connerly, you have the five-star out of high school, found the field as a freshman, Pac-12 honorable all-mention in 2023. But, man, this year, first team all-Big Ten. What's your read on the big fella and where he may be going come draft day?
I mean, he's a guy that just has been trending really well the whole season. I think early in the year, he started off a little bit slow, but I think the more you saw Connerly play this year, because I think people forget that he's still a really young guy. Like, he's only a third-year player and only a second-year starter. So, like, he's played a good amount of football, but he's still a young guy in terms of age and just body maturation, all those types of things. But I think the second half of the year, he played his best football, and there was a couple games like the Penn State game against Abdul Carter where he was really good. He was really impressive, and he has all the variables, right? Like, he's got the length, he's got the body type, he's got the athleticism. He was actually a guy that we talked about at the A to Z Film Room, our YouTube channel, where we did like a little early preview of just some of the offensive line, and then Connerly was one of the guys that we picked as a riser potentially, because everybody I think right now has kind of had him, you know, like 31 to the Chiefs, like somewhere in that ballpark, maybe the Washington Commanders at the end of the first round. Like, that's kind of been the Josh Connerly spot. But I do think if Connerly goes and he verifies his athleticism and he interviews well with teams, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about a top 20 pick when all is said and done, because there's just not enough true left tackles in this class. Like, I feel like the left tackles, when we talk about like Will Campbell from LSU, we talk about Kelvin Banks from Texas, while they're good players, some NFL teams see them at left tackle, some see them inside a guard. There's a question of just positionally. Josh Connerly, along with like Josh Simmons, excuse me, from Ohio State, like those are the true two guys in this class early on that you look at and say, that's a left tackle. Like, that's the build, that's the frame, that's the athleticism, that's what works. So I think Connerly is going to be a big riser in this class. I wouldn't be shocked if he's an early portion of the first round when April comes around.
By the way, even though it's been 7 weeks, if you mention Ohio State around here, I think you generate a nervous twitch. Another Duck who arrived via the transfer portal, Derek Harmon on the D-line, played some good ball for Michigan State. But, man, there were times this year he was just a wrecking crew in the middle of that line. Pretty agile for a 330-pounder. What's the book on him and how maybe he improved his NFL stock his 1 year here in Eugene?
I mean, he's a fascinating player. I mean, he played, obviously, when he was at Michigan State, he played a little bit heavier, and he was kind of more just like a standard nose tackle, like physical dude, has some length, power, obviously. But I think when he came to Oregon, he was a guy that kind of reshaped his body a little bit. He got in a little bit better shape, lost a little bit of weight, and you started to see that explosiveness and that flexibility off the line of scrimmage, and he became a little bit more of a playmaker, obviously, with his 1 year with the Ducks. So right now, Mason Graham, interior defensive lineman one, I'd expect him to be a top 10 pick out of Michigan. After that, though, there's a big question of who interior defensive line two is. Like, is that his teammate Kenneth Grant from Michigan? Is that Derek Harmon? Is it Walter Nolan from Ole Miss? Like, there's a few guys that I think are going to fight for that spot. I think it's really going to depend on just how he does during this draft process. And it's not as much of the combine. Like, I expect him to test well. I think he'll check all those boxes. But again, those little things, the interviews, the medicals, like all those things to check out. I think Derek Harmon has a very good chance to go in the first round. And I wouldn't be shocked if when all is said and done, he's defensive tackle two or three in this class. And if he's defensive tackle two or three in the class, that means he's probably a top 20 pick. So he has that type of upside to him. I think right now he's bordering on that late first, early second round bubble, but that defensive tackle two spot is wide open. I think he's one of the guys that is in high contention for that.
Few final thoughts, Ryan Roberts, draft analyst, Rising Draft on the X platform. As far as the quarterbacks, I'm keeping a close eye as a Giants fan. Cam Ward has now issued threats to teams who don't draft him. We of course, out here, Ryan, know him from Washington State. He does not lack confidence. So how high are you on his NFL potential? And again, like you mentioned, you've been doing, which I love, who's your QB comparison?
Yeah, man, this is an unfortunate one for Cam, because I do like Cam, but I put a Jay Cutler comp on him, which is both positive in the sense of there's going to be a lot of great moments, and he has a big arm, and he does a lot of great things out of structure at times, but it's obviously a negative because Jay Cutler, I think, in a vacuum, was a good quarterback, but he always had a fatal flaw because you knew that he was just going to turn the ball over a little bit too much. You knew he was a little bit volatile. And I just think that's kind of what Cam is. You know, but if I had to take a quarterback early in this draft, he would be the guy I would take because I do think that confidence matters. Because some people, I know, like the comments, like, it rubs some people the wrong way because they're just like, hey, can we be humble? But when you look at his background, it's like zero star recruit, had to play FCS football at Incarnate Word, had to earn his spot at a Pac-12 school, obviously Washington State. Then he goes and goes down to Miami and did what he did, and he's constantly gotten better every year. So I do like him. I do think there's volatility to him. Luckily, me saying I would draft him in the top 10, I could say that with a lot of ferocity, and I don't have any repercussions that'll follow, right? Like, my job's not going to – I'm not going to get fired if Ward busts out because I'm not controlling these teams. If I was one of those teams, I would make the pick, but there would be like a little bit in the back of my mind of like, this is it. Like, this is either going to make or break my tenure here. Like, so he's got that boom or bust quality to him. But if he hits, man, he's got some special tools, the ability to throw outside of structure, the ability to throw from multiple platforms, some of the touch throws he makes. It's pretty special stuff. You just got to cut out the fumbling, the turnovers, just some doofus moments occasionally every game. If he does, I think he's got star upside. It's just that there is going to be a little bit of boom or bust to him early on.
And as far as Shedeur Sanders, one of the things I love about this kid is we saw him just take a pounding in 2023. Yeah. I mean, he got sacked 52 times. And even though he was Offensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, he still got sacked 42 times. So you know the kid has brass. But what are you thinking about how all that transfers to being a Sunday player and who's his NFL comp?
Yeah, I think his floor is very high. I really do, because like you said, the ability to work against structure I think is important because, I mean, if you watch Shedeur at Colorado, there's going to be some people that blame him. And like, he did hold the ball at times a little bit too long, but there's some others where it's just like three-step drop and someone's in your face, right? Like, that's not his fault at all. Like, that's just a protection issue. That's X, Y, or Z reason. That's just kind of a supporting cast issue. But I think the floor is high because he's the most accurate quarterback in this class. I don't even think it's relatively close. Like, I think he's the most accurate quarterback by a pretty steep margin. And I also think that he improved that internal clock from 2023 to 2024. The ball was coming out a little bit quicker. I was more decisive. And I do think that he has a good temperament to him. And everybody I've talked to has said that his character report on that side, because he, you know, he's got that persona because of who his dad is and him being a little bit outspoken. But apparently the character reports are great. So he's a great young man by all indications, just a little bit outspoken off of the field, which, you know, you'll take as long as he's not being disruptive ultimately, right? So my comp for him, though, Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that some people take that very negatively because we know what Bridgewater is now or what he became. But I keep telling people, like, go back and watch Teddy Bridgewater when he was coming out of Louisville, man. Like, he was good. He was a first-round pick. He was a good player. He looked like he was going to ascend early on in his career with Minnesota, and then obviously the catastrophic leg injury just kind of derailed his entire career. I still often wonder, like, would Teddy Bridgewater still be an NFL starting quarterback right now if that didn't happen to him, right? So I like the floor. I think that his arm and his athleticism are just very average for the NFL, but I think he's got a nice innate feel. He gets the ball out pretty fast. I think that he understands how to evaluate it and work against pressure. So I like his floor. I don't think his ceiling is nearly as high as a Cam Ward, but if you want a guy that you can just say, hey, that guy's at least going to be a solid NFL quarterback, I think that's what Shador is. I just don't think his ceiling is quite as high as Cam's.
Yeah, a lot of people forget Bridgewater, especially that last year at Louisville. He lit things up, and he was accurate. He hit for like 70, 71%. Lastly, you know, I'm going to get to the Giants off of a miserable season. They stuck with their GM, Joe Shane, Coach Brian Daboll. You know there's going to be a new starter. The question is who? How do they arrive? You made a case on a show we have right here on this station, BetMGM. So share your thoughts, Ryan, on what you're thinking my Giants should do here.
I think they better be careful, because right now you have two teams in front of you that could be in the quarterback market. And if they aren't, I think there are trade back options for other teams that could come up, like a Las Vegas Raiders who are at 6, to draft the quarterback to get in front of the Giants. And if they go 1-2, then the Giants are sitting there at 3, and you're just kind of like best player available. And you had the hope that maybe you got somebody in free agency, whether it's a Sam Darnold or someone, just to be at least relevant at quarterback. Right. So I think if I was them, I wouldn't be opposed to being aggressive if it made sense, because you're at 3, so jumping up to 2 is not going to cost you a ton, or jumping up to 1 might not cost you a crazy amount either. Like, obviously, it'll be a little bit more than the former there, but I think that New York Giants need to be cautious here, because if they really want one of those two quarterbacks, I think they might need to be a little bit aggressive, because they are in an unfortunate position at number 3 where they could get jumped, or Cleveland and Tennessee could just stick there. Tennessee at 1, Cleveland at 2, and they could just take quarterbacks back-to-back, and they could be in a little bit of issue there. So I think aggressiveness would be a good thing if there's someone you like. If there's not, then it's a moot point at that point. But I do think that they should be aggressive. Because you're at the tail end, obviously, with Shane and Brian Daboll. Like, if you guys don't figure it out, or at least get someone behind center that has optimism toward the future, unfortunately, your job security is not going to be very high for very much longer. So.
My hope is that Will Levis was better. That did not happen. Folks, yeah. he's Ryan Roberts. Always terrific insight and information. Always working to provide terrific content for those who can't get enough football. Again, be it on YouTube or A to Z Sports, link it all from the X platform. Follow along. It's at Rise and Draft. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. You and yours be well. Enjoy the combine, and look forward to catching up down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you always for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.